things that... You like that? Well, you guys know what I'm talking about. There's plenty of things that just like a vacuum to suck the joy right out of you. And so then we have to learn things about that. So funny, because we get into the scripture today, and I find it so interesting if you want to turn to Psalm 28. So Psalm 28, 29, and 30, we're going to kind of take those as a group as well, and we'll see how far we're going to get tonight. We're having communion tonight, so be aware of that and be preparing your heart as we go through this in the time that we have. But this chapter starts off maybe like a lot of you experienced last week. It starts off with a great battle that David's facing. So we don't really know what the battle is. Some think it may be the battle with David and Goliath. Some think it might be his son Absalom who rebelled against him. But needless to say, now he's faced with this battle. So these three chapters, if you want to have something to hang your hat on, so to speak, we're going to look at how prayer and gratitude are the components to having joy. Those are very important factors, and you're going to see that. So David's going to sort of work through the battle and things that it's, because he's human, because we live in a fallen world, joy is something we have to be sort of intentional about. It may not be just the natural bent or leaning of our heart, because there's just so many things that can distract us and hurt us and take away the relationship that we have, not in a salvation way, but we start to get in the flesh, we get emotional and depressed, discouraged, frustrated, all those things. So let's take a look at this and sort of walk through it. And I just find it really, really neat because in these three chapters, 28, 29, and 30, so we have a big battle here in 28. We see David work through it. And then in 29, we have a storm. And then in 30, it's about getting to the glory. I think that's really important if you're going to understand joy. It's getting to the glory. So watch this. He says, in verse 28, he says, "To you I will cry, O Lord, my rock. Do not be silent to me, lest if you are silent to me, I become like those who go down to the pit." He's saying and recognizing in the enormity of what I'm facing, this huge mountain of whatever it is that he's facing, and we all have those things, this is how he deals with it. He cries out to the Lord, but notice he's saying, Lord, there has to be a response. There has to be a reaction to my action, or else I'm just like everybody else. And notice he makes a distinction that somebody who doesn't know the Lord, they don't have that privilege. They don't have that opportunity to boldly come to the throne of grace in time of need. So first off, I want to appreciate and get us to understand the enormity of our opportunity of approaching God and coming to Him, praying. And this, now, to understand correctly then, is the privilege of a Christian, that we can come to Almighty God and He will hear us, and we have that confidence knowing that. So why is this important? So understanding how to work through when we don't feel joy. So we work through that. Well, to do that, we come to God in prayer and we interact with Him. And that's why in Philippians, it tells us to rejoice in the Lord, rejoice in the Lord. Again, I say rejoice. Let your requests be made known to God. And He wants us to come to Him. But here's the thing. See, a lot of you say, well, I pray, but I'm stuck. Well, He says when we're to pray, He doesn't say in Philippians 4, He doesn't say we're going to pray And then God is going to flip a switch and everything is going to change. What he's saying is, when we pray, we're dropping it all off like a dump truck to God, leaving it there and walking away without it. That's what's important. And many of us, when we pray, we still possess the thing that we're praying about that God says, give to me. That's the problem. So when we come to the altar, so to speak, when we come to God, the benefit of prayer is that we're actually giving him all our burdens and things that trouble us. And that's why in that Philippians verse right after that says, let your gentleness be made known to all men. That means that now you can relax and there's a tangible quality about you because other people are seeing that you're not carrying these loads anymore. So it really doesn't do a lot of good if we just pray and 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 pray, but yet we never actually by faith are trusting God when we pray with all our stuff. That's what's so important. So he notes that. He says, if you don't answer me, if you don't do anything, I'm just like everybody else. So he says in verse 2, and remember, he's facing this huge battle. He says, hear the voice of my supplications when I cry to you, when I lift up my hands toward your holy sanctuary. So there's a direction of his heart, I think, is another thing that's important. See, what's happening here and what happens a lot to us is in order for us to truly live a full life, this is going to sound weird, but we have to be empty. We don't like to be emptied. And when we're holding on to God's emptying us, we're holding on to the toxic things in our life that God's trying to empty out so he can fill us with life. So we hold on to dead things. We're holding on to deadness. And God, through various means, suffering, sometimes trials, things where we have to trust him, he's trying to empty us. And in order for him to do that, we have to cooperate. And much of the lack of joy that occurs in our life is because we're simply not at rest with what God is doing in our life. We're not okay with it. And so what do we do when we're not okay with it? We fight, right? Are we going to be at peace with God when we're fighting what God's trying to do? What is God trying to do? The Bible tells us that God has redeemed us and restored us in order for us to experience the fullness of his glory. To know that, then, is to easily let go. And to easily let go, then, as we pray and we get to places where it's hard for us to understand. Think about this. Things that are hard for us to understand and we don't like, it's like we need to feed off that. It's like manna. Do you remember what manna was called? The word manna means what is this? They were feeding off what is this. They were okay with, they were eating what is this. It's like, hey, we don't know what's going on, but this is exciting. Okay, I'm feeding on the excitement. And I go to bed at night, and I'm in a desert. There's no cattle, nothing. There's no food. And when I wake up, what is it appears again. And I eat it. And I can't save it because God wants me to learn to depend on him. So I can't save it. If I save it, it'll rot. So every day I have to eat, what is this? Many of you are eating, what is this? Why is this? You're feeding off it. But see, it's nourishing you. Was manna the perfect food for them? Was it? It was perfectly configured by God for everything they needed for their body. And so we can feed on what is this. We can take it in. And we that can contribute to our growth and development in our relationship with God. So he says in verse verse 3, he says, do not take me away with the wicked and with the workers of iniquity who speak peace to their neighbors. So they're speaking about hypocrisy. And he's saying, hey, God, it's just really weird because he had real enemies, real people trying to kill him. And he says, don't let me just be like them. He wants God to be glorified in his life. And he wants God to prove himself faithful in his life. Because remember, chapter 25, David just presented himself to God. And then he talks about, don't let me not be ashamed. And let me, because of this move of faith that I put my life in your hands, show that you're real to other people. And don't let me have a life that's just like everybody else. So he says in verse 4, he says, give them according to their deeds and according to their wickedness of their endeavors. Give them according to the work of their hands. Render them to them what they deserve, because they do not regard the works of the Lord, nor the operation of his hands. And he shall destroy them and not build them up. And so again, he wants to know, as he's faced with these incredible odds, he wants to know that God is working in a very tangible way. And I think it's interesting that he points out that those who are after him, they don't regard the works of the Lord. And he does. David does. But as I'm thinking about that, I want to be very careful that I am regarding the work of the Lord. Because there's other ways to discard that. Maybe in our minds, we have this understanding of God things. But when it comes to the practical aspects of living that out, then we disregard the work of the Lord. We act as if God never acted before. So God's acted proactively, intentionally, throughout all of mankind. And then he's acted and has acted in our lives continually. And so we have to be careful that when we pray to God and surrender and give over those things that trouble us, that we're coming to a place where we're saying, Lord, I'm regarding your works. I'm regarding the work on the cross. I'm regarding that you've broken the chains. I'm regarding that you've given me the power that has rose Jesus from the dead, that I'm not negating that, that I'm not acting as if that never happened, because we can be at times practical atheists where we say we believe in God, but then in times where we really need or have the opportunity to show our faith, then we go revert back to a worldly way of trying to control circumstances and situations. So we need to be careful of that. That's a temptation we need to watch out for. So he says in verse 6, remember, he's praying and he's working through this scary, frightful thing. He says, blessed be the Lord, because he has heard the voice of my supplication. Now, is that enough for us? You see that? So that was enough for him. He's praying, he's saying, Lord, you have to hear me or I'm going to be like everybody else. And then he knows God has heard him by faith. He's trusting. He knows that. And so as he knows that God has heard him, now do you see the shift here? He's blessing God. We can bless God before he executes his plan that he's going to execute. We can bless him. Why? Because he's going to. So How about in the midst of battle, we're blessing God because by faith, we're looking down the road. We know everything's going to be okay. How about by faith, we're saying, God, this is exciting. This is crazy. I'm scared. We can admit all that stuff. I don't like what's going on, but I'm standing on your promises. I'm standing on your word. I'm standing on your truth. I know by faith, this is going to be something that's going to work for good, for the greater glory. And you're doing something in my life that goes far beyond all I can ask or think or imagine. And so by faith, I know all that, although I don't see it. So we take it by faith and we say, yes, Lord. Amen. Yes, Lord. Blessed be your name. Now that's the real trick, isn't it? To be able to do that before the thing happens. Because aren't we kind of programmed to pray and pray and pray? And then when it happens and everything's great, happy days are here again. And then we fall into that trap of conditional sort of joy when we're blessing God because he's already taken care of it. We just haven't got there yet. And we haven't seen it, but we keep eating the manna. We feed on it. One day we'll see. So blessed be the Lord because he heard the voice of my supplications. So before I move on, you might just want to circle that because we can bless God just because he heard us. Because if he heard us, then you know all's good, right? And then you're free from that. So you're shifting, he's taking it. Cast all your cares upon me, the Lord says. My burden is light, my yoke is easy. So how free are you today? If we could have a spiritual x-ray machine, how big would your burden be? Some of you may have huge backpacks. Some of you may have just those little ones with two little strings you kind of put like a pair of cleats in. And some of you look like you're going hiking in the High Sierras for 2 months. And God says, hey, take that off. Just take it right off. I'm going to provide for you. You don't need to take a stove up the mountain. Okay, I'm going to provide for you. I'm going to take care of all that. Take that off. Your burden's too big. So he says in verse 7, he says, the Lord is my strength. Do you see the shift? I just feel a lot of peace now. I was really upset when we started this. And now I just feel this shift that David's feeling. It's like, wow, notice nothing's happened, really anything different, right? But do you see the acknowledgement? You see the faith? He's saying, the Lord is my strength. I don't have to be strong. Because when I'm weak, he's what? Hey, isn't that great? So I don't have to be that guy anymore. So I can be weak because he's already strong. So he's saying, the Lord is my strength. And what if the Lord is your strength? Then what is stronger than the Lord? What can overcome us if the Lord is our strength? Answer's obvious, right? He's not only my strength, he's saying he's my shield. So now he's acknowledging the protection of the Lord, the strength of the Lord. He's factoring that into his life. It's kind of like the other side of quilt, you know, the backside of a quilt. It's like God's weaving all these things in our life, right? And it may look ugly, but you flip it over and boom, you have this really cool looking thing that keeps you warm when it's cold. So he says, my heart trusted in him and I am helped. It's just really, I can't just keep reading these without stopping it. I want to stop at every word. People hear that David was a man after God's own heart. Here's why. Yeah, he had sin, he blew it, but he wanted God so bad. He was hungering for God. You see the depth of his prayers? You see the strength of his life was his weakness and dependence on the Lord? And so he's saying his heart trusted. That's huge, isn't it? Because we can sit here today and we can see what it says, but we can also go right out those doors and not trust God. And he said, my heart trusts, like the deepest part of him. He was completely settled that God would take care of him, that God would handle the things that he's dealing with. He said, therefore, my heart greatly rejoices. Do you see that? Do you see how prayer works? He went into prayer with a huge backpack on. He came out of prayer, he took it off, and he knew God was going to take care of him. Do you see what's going on here? And what he said, his heart's rejoicing now. Why? His heart is not tangled up anymore. Do you see that? Isn't it hard to rejoice when your heart's all tangled up? When your heart is just bogged down with the cares and concerns of the world? And he says, now my heart rejoices. Do you see how that works? That we work through that whole issue there. And so now his heart is dancing. His heart, if we had a spiritual x-ray machine, which I want to get one of those, he would be grinning from cheek to cheek. All his teeth would be showing. And he's like, yes! And nothing's changed. Practically, nothing has happened yet. But by faith, it's already done for him. So now his heart's rejoicing. That right there is so much the secret of joy. Right there. It's faith. It's trusting God. Did you guys hear that noise? How many are thankful the air came on? I saw a lot of... Now watch this. His heart's rejoicing. How much? How much? Greatly. So that's not just like a little bit, right? That's not like one of these, I'm going to try to play it real cool because I don't want anybody to know how excited I am. So I'm just going to keep my vibe down. But inside, it's really awesome. He's like, man, I just want to explode right now. Why? Because he doesn't have a burden anymore. And he does something with that. So watch this. He says, with my song, I will praise him. Isn't this a way to worship right here? Talk about worship, right? So he's coming in, burdened, heavy, laden, stressed, scared, afraid. And he knows what to do. He goes to God. The end result is his heart's dancing, and he wants to do something about that. And so he just, his thing, he's singing, he's communicating with God, he's rejoicing. The Bible says that God will put a song in our heart. And then we'll finish with verses 8 and 9 before communion. He says, the Lord is their strength. And he is the saving refuge of his anointed. And then I love this last verse. He says, save your people. Bless your inheritance. Shepherd them also and bear them up forever. What a great prayer. And notice that he's ascribing ownership of himself and God's people to God. He's saying, hey, they're yours. And he's calling upon God in that way. And I think it's really important that we see ourselves that way. That we say, I'm God's. He's redeemed me. I'm God's most valuable possession. Now, how do you guys treat your most valuable possessions? Lock them up somewhere, your jewelry, your car, whatever. Think about this. The Bible says that we're the apple of God's eye. You get things in perspective like this, And it gives us the freedom and the confidence to dance with the Lord, to enjoy his presence, and to be filled with joy. It's really hard to be filled with joy when we're filled with ourselves, with the world, with care and concern, with anxiety, with worry. And the Bible says that God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of what? Love, power, and a sound mind. And so, as we get into communion tonight, I think it's a perfect opportunity to work through, just like David. We face hard things, guys. Living in this world is hard and ugly. But at the same time, God gives us his Holy Spirit. He gives us blessings. He gives us glimpses of eternity. All around us, we see these blessings that he gives us, grace. And he says, these are just a foretaste of glory divine. And he wants us to know him as a God who cares, a God who takes care of us, a God who understands, and a God who is proactive in working in our life. And I hope and I pray to God that we can just take a little bit from this message and learn a little bit about who God is, what he thinks, and what he wants to do in our life. And as we get into communion, let us make that our own prayer. How about we make Psalm 28 our own prayer tonight? And maybe we're working through some stuff. As we take communion, we're going to be reminded, Jesus paid it all. It's finished. Basically saying, chill out and relax. I got it covered. Let's pray. So Lord, we thank you for this time, and we thank you so much that we can take an opportunity to remember you. We need to remember you, Lord, and communion is a time where we can do that. And it speaks to us again so loud and clear of your love for us, of your grace, of the gift of your Son. And Lord, I pray as we take communion tonight, we'd have great confidence in you, trusting in you, relinquishing all our cares and concerns to you, because you care for us. We're going to worship the Lord, and I ask that you would just remain in a state of prayer. This is a time to talk to God. Guys will come out, come around, pass out the communion. Let's all take it together once it's all passed out.
just as I am, without one plea but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou biddest me
tonight. We feed on God's faithfulness, don't we? In Luke chapter 22, verse 19, just before Jesus was about to suffer at the cross, he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it. Jesus was instituting what we're doing here tonight. And he passed the bread around, he passed the wine around, and he said, "This is my body. Do this in remembrance of me." But notice something very important, that Jesus was giving thanks there. He was about to suffer and he was giving thanks. I think it's appropriate, as we take the Lord's Supper, to do the same, to give thanks, to just have a mindset of all that God has done for us. I was driving over here, I was thinking about that. And I was just looking around, and I was just so amazing how many different colors there were, how many different shapes there are, how many different shades of light. Just amazing. And it just made me feel so thankful. And I think before we take communion, I'd like to just kind of give you an opportunity to just say something that you're thankful for. And let's see how much we can be thankful for. Just like a one word or couple word statement. And then we'll take communion together. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for your loving kindness.
Yes. Yes. Yes, Lord. Yes. Yes, Lord. Thank you for your provision, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes. Yes, Lord.
Thank you for protection.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Thank you for laughter, Lord. Joy. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Mm-hmm. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
thank you for an eternity with you, Lord.
Mm-hmm. Yes, Lord.
For always being available.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Keep going. It's a million of them. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Thank you that you're always ready to listen.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for grace.
Thank you that you never grow weary of us.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you for forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for hope.
Yes. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord, for John. Thank you for his humble service to you over these many years. Thank you for blessing us by speaking to him.
Thank you, Jerry. Thank you for the nice air, Lord. Shelter, food. Thank you for the children. Amen. Thank you for your gospel. Come on, guys, there's a whole bunch more.
Thank you, Lord, that you're making your end come true.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Amen. Yes, Lord.
Thank you for the continual glimpses you give us of you, Lord.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you for allowing us to serve under you.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you for carrying the burden.
Yes, Lord. Thank you for our town, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Thank you that we are good disappointments when you do it all this.
Mm-hmm. Yes, Lord.
Thank you for listening.
Yes. Thank you for watching.
Yes.
Lord, for Paul.
Yes. Yes, Lord.
Three words, it is finished.
Amen. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Thank you for giving us pets.
Did you say pets?
Pets.
I'm thankful for that too. Yes, Lord.
I thank you, Lord, for all those that labor and work in this beautiful church group and church service.
Yes, Lord. Thank you for our military men and women, Lord, serving our country. Amen. As Jesus, he gave thanks, and he did this all throughout his ministry, no matter what the situation was, even at times where he wasn't seemingly fruitful and people despised him, he'd give thanks to the Lord. And here we are with that example. Jesus gave thanks right before he went to the cross. Everything that everybody said here is all demonstrated in one act, in one event, that Jesus died on the cross for our sins. That was the display of everything that we said here. That Jesus on the cross, that was the fullness of grace poured out to us to receive a free gift. And he continues to pour out that gift to lavish us with his grace. And so we give thanks today. As we give thanks, may we realize the blessings that we have. May we recognize the gifts all around us, especially the gift of salvation. That God demonstrated his love. He poured out his love. And he did it for each one of us individually, personally. That whoever, I hope you're a whoever, would come to him, would not perish but have eternal life. And so we celebrate that today. And as we take of the communion, may we be encouraged once again to live in that place of awe, of wonder, of childlike faith. Live in that place of recognition of the simplicity that was at the cross that Jesus died and paid for our sins. May we not complicate things. May we not add to things. May we not take away things. but may we find our sufficiency in Jesus Christ and Him alone. Amen. So let's partake of the bread representing the body of Christ. And partake of the cup representing the blood of Jesus Christ. And we give thanks, Lord. Let us give thanks with song as we sing this last song. God bless you guys. Let's rejoice. Amen. You guys can stand.
Hey, Polly, can we put the words to I love it? You sure you said? This song is full of things, just like we just talked about. Things that make me thankful to Him. There's ways that He shows Himself to us. I love it when you show yourself to me. You love it like tonight, right? Amen. God bless you all. Have a great rest of the week, and we'll see you Sunday.
Friday night too.
And Friday night. That's right. Don't forget that.